Introducing
Real Estate People.
Hey, where are the bills?
What are you talking about, Willis?
We're the Real Estate People.
In real estate, you could rep buyers or sellers.
Yeah, right? That's true. Are there any other people that we can rep?
Investors, but in some regard, they're either
buyer or seller, right?
Yeah. Which do you prefer working so far?
I like the excitement of a buyer. That doesn't mean that I like working with buyers more. It just means, you know, I have these clients that I'm just starting to work with. They're a young couple. They're buying their first home. They just got pre-approved. They're starting to realize that, you know, wow, this is actually happening. You always have this pie in the sky idea of buying a home is like Ryan said in one episode, it's like something your parents do, or maybe you said it. And it seems like unattainable to a lot of people. It seems complicated and confusing and all that. But once you start to actually talk to these real estate professionals, and a lot of them are, you know, younger, not, I don't mean to say younger. What I mean is they're personable. They're actual people. They help you understand the process. And when you start to wrap your mind around it, you're like, oh, I can actually do this. And you start moving forward in the process. And now I just got the pre-approval from Amanda Bernardini, who we had on an episode of our buying series. And I sent an email back like, Amanda, you're the best. All right, guys, let's do this. Now it's time to start looking for a home, you know?
And buyers are more like excited, right? Sellers are more nervous, maybe. Maybe they're excited too because they're going into something. But when you're selling, yeah, it's a whole different layer because this is the most important thing now, the sale of this home to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. And it also depends on what you're doing next. I have a client right now who they're just done with the house that they're in. They've outgrown it. You know, they're kind of over it. They want to be in a different neighborhood. And they went under contract with the purchase of their next house. And now the sale of their home that they're in now is so important because if they don't get this to close, then they don't get that to close. You know, so there's a lot of like anxiety around that.
There's a lot on the line there.
Yeah.
But selling a house could be fun. Like I always enjoy that first conversation from somebody. They give us a call. They're like, hey, Eric, or hey, Nick. You helped my friend over here. Now I have a house. I'm thinking about selling.
Yeah.
And one of those first things that a consumer always says is, you know, I have kind of an idea of what the house is worth, you
yeah,
know, because of like some of the listing platforms out there, but they want to be sure. And they're still coming to an agent to find that out, which I think is very interesting that of all real estate transactions that close, 90% of them are still facilitated by a real estate agent.
Well, yeah, I mean, a consumer is going on Zillow or Redfin or one of these apps, and they're getting an idea of what the houses around them are selling for. They're like, oh man, the house down the street just sold for $300,000. What's mine worth? You know?
Mine's way nicer. Can I get six?
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes Zillow will give you what's called the Zestimate. You know, so you see that number, you see what other houses are selling for, and maybe even you have the wherewithal to like know. You have to compare, you know, how many bedrooms there are and square footage and stuff like that. But when it comes to actually selling the property, I think most people who own a house and they want to sell it, there is kind of this daunting feeling of like, okay, I might be able to figure out about how much my house is worth, but how do I actually sell it?
Right.
You know, do I just put a sign on the window that says for sale, you know, like...
Yeah, and that's all one part of it, right? Signage is a part of it.
Yeah.
Where the listing's getting distributed, it's a part of it.
Yeah.
How you're handling showings, who's doing the follow-up for the showings, are there any open houses, the other types of external marketing that you could do for someone's home.
Yeah.
And to put that all together and to do that in the way to lead to like premium results, you know, you have to have done that before, at least a few times.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, we did a whole series on buying and what was it, 8 or 9 parts. And selling is, there's a lot of steps involved too. And so that's why we're going to be sitting down for the next several weeks to talk about selling a home because that's the other side of a transaction. There's always a buyer and a seller. Whether you're just selling a single family residence that you've lived in for a while, or you're selling a multi-use space with commercial and residential all combined into one, or you're selling a package. You know, there's all different kinds of buyers and all different kinds of sellers. But the process, even though like each deal or transaction has its own quirks and different steps you got to take, the overall flow of how it works is pretty similar no matter what you're selling, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like the process doesn't change a whole lot, but how you get to price, where the listings get displayed, what type of marketing, like all that changes a little bit, but you're still pricing, listing, showing, negotiating, marketing. But yeah, how you do that's going to be a little bit different depending on property type. So I think it'd be good if like just put ourselves in the shoes. Seller calls us and says, hey, we want to sell our house. Will you come by and, you know, take a look at it and give us an idea of price? Like they still want us there to do that, no matter what the online platforms say their house is potentially worth.
Yes.
The alternative is like going to court without a lawyer. Like a lot of people don't want to do that. Some people do, like that 10% FSBO market. And like something's going to be sacrificed in that transaction because they didn't have a professional there to manage even something so simple as like the type of photos that were produced or the order of the photos on the listing.
Well, let's talk about why would somebody want to try to sell their house on their own as opposed to using an agent. I'm assuming it's to save some money, right? They think if I don't have to pay this commission, then I'm going to make more money. But what we've discovered, and this is not just like a sales thing for us.
When you focus on the money, you're focusing on the wrong thing.
Well, that and like, you know, I don't want to sound salesy or whatever to say like, oh yeah, like you should pay us money, but like.
Or they had bad experience. That could be something that trumps
right,
like why someone wouldn't want to list with the realtor.
Right.
They had bad experience. They don't want to pay the fee. They think they could do it themselves. A lot of stubborn people like to do things themselves.
Yeah.
I actually just had this conversation with somebody in my immediate family who was telling me, oh, this might come back to bite me in the butt, but.
I hope so.
Me too. So they listed their like in-laws house for sale by owner. He said he went on Zillow, saw that the house was worth $250,000 and sold it to somebody for $230,000. And he thought he had a great deal. He didn't pay any commission, didn't have to pay any closing costs. And he got his number, which would be fine if the house was only worth $250,000, like Zillow said, but that house is worth closer to $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody saving 6% of $250,000 just cost themselves $50,000 by not like having a conversation with someone who does this for a living about what the value of that house was.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's so important that we talk about this.
Dude, we see it all the time with people who wholesale real estate. People leave tens and 20s and thousands of dollars on the line per transaction because they don't want to pay a realtor.
Yeah. And in this situation, what you don't know will hurt you.
And pricing your house is the most important part of this whole process. Like you have to market it. You got to have the listing distribution, but you also have to get price right. And getting price right on a single family home is different than getting price right on a four unit, which as you mentioned earlier, is different than getting price right on a commercial asset.
Yeah.
Right. Or a ranch to a two story.
Right.
Or a four bedroom, two and a half bath house to a three bedroom, one and a half bath. How does that all relate back to what is the best possible list price for this home? Right. Because the list price and the sell price aren't always the same number. Like sometimes we use list price to drive up sell price. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes there's certain assets that don't have not a lot of those type of homes sell and you are more aggressive with price. So at the end of the day, it's seller's decision, but we're using the data to help them guide that decision on, you know, what to price for. But ultimately, someone else's house, they're driving
what
to list it for.
And what I was going to say is also what I've seen so far, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of times you pay that 6% commission, and even though that number seems large, you actually end up making more money a lot of times working with a good agent than if you were to save on that commission because of the way their market knowledge, the way that they market the property, their negotiation skills, their expertise in guiding you how to prepare your house and make it the most appealing house on the block, you know?
And it's the relationship that you have with that individual who is in real estate. And we all know what real estate can do for somebody's like financial future.
Yeah.
Right. So it's having a relationship with somebody who knows how to do real estate at a high level and just use them a couple times if you want to learn how to do it, then go do it on your own a few times if you want. But this is a very serious thing, pricing your house. Once you put that thing on the market and you lift the curtains and you have that list price for the public to see, you should never be raising your price, right? If it doesn't sell, you can't go up. Right. So the only way to go down, and if you go down on price, now you have people that are starting to wonder if you have a compromised asset. Like, what's wrong with this house? It's been up there for 25 days and the market's on fire. Like, and consumers don't want to buy stuff that other people don't want. Like, we've seen over the last several years in real estate, people want stuff that other people want. And that's that draw and that allure to that multiple offer situation.
Right.
But you have to be very careful, because once you go up at 200, if your expectation is to get to 250 and now you hit 10 days on market, you ain't getting to 250. And now what's that seller's position look like with the active listing at 200,000 when really they wanted 250 and you didn't help, you know, you didn't like show that, whatever, that might not be possible or something.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We could probably spend days talking about this, because there are a lot of like little nuances to the process. Why don't we pump the brakes a little bit? Let's back up. Let's talk about when a client first decides to sell their house and they give us a call. What does that conversation look like? What is the very next step after they call us? Hey, Nick, this is Joe Schmo. You know, I've been living in my house for a while. I've been looking on Zillow. I think I have an idea of what it's worth, but I'd like to sell it. Can you help me out? What's your response to that?
Yeah, the first thing is really understanding that person's motivation. Like, it all goes back to motivation. Why are you doing this? Where are you going? What's your time frame and when, right? Like, all of those. So understanding, like, it's very important when you're dealing with the seller that you help them identify where they're going next, because no one's going to make a decision to list or sell their house until they, you know, have that next place identified.
So before even talking about commissions or what the house is worth or anything, the first thing that you're trying to figure out is what their motivation is and where they're going.
Right.
You're selling this house. Where are you going? What does that look like?
Yeah, because if that's not figured out, this is never happening.
Right.
So that's the first thing. And then you want to grab email, phone number. You probably have phone number, but from the call, but full name, email, are there any other decision makers like in this process, just to understand like who's the decision maker in this decision. And then what the address is of the house. We'll do a little bit of work on the back end. We'll go through the tax record and see what the tax record says, the square footage is, bedrooms, baths, some of the external features of the house.
Right.
Also, I want to know like what the existing mortgage is on the house. I want to know when it last sold, because a lot of that stuff, some of those things are indicators where you might not have a successful situation, right? Someone buys the house last year, you know, they paid X amount. It was a full retail sale, was on the market.
Yeah.
You know, 30 people bid on it and now they're selling it a year later. So you want to know like how much somebody owes on it to make sure that that sale is going to be successful before you like go down this crazy rabbit hole of helping somebody figure out what's the best list price and what they should do to their house pre-listing.
Yeah. Wow.
And then just do a quick little search on the MLS to see like just your basic stuff. Like, don't go too detailed, but know that if this house is in Kenmore or this house is 2,000 square feet, you just want to get a general idea of what 2,000 square foot single family homes in Kenmore sell for, just so you can figure out what like what's the most a bank is ever going to say this house is worth.
Yeah, yeah. But before you actually tell the seller how much their house is worth, that's always, usually it's one of the first questions, like, how much do you think I could get for my house? That's what they want to know, because that's what's most important to them a lot of times. But before you actually start talking numbers, what I typically do is I say, hey, what's your motivation? I try to get an idea of where they're going. But before we talk numbers, I'd like to actually see the house, you know?
Oh yeah, you have to.
Right. Because it seems like everyone who's selling stuff, anything, they'll try to talk you into thinking like, this is the best thing ever. Like, I redid my kitchen, I redid my bathroom, but like redid can be interpreted lots of different ways. Sometimes people put stick down linoleum floors, that's done horribly. And sometimes people put all new tile and, you know,
Yeah, a lot of cosmetic renovation could be subjective too, right? Like that could be the most wonderful kitchen and bathroom for you, but that's not going to be something that's sellable to the masses.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to be careful when doing cosmetic improvements to your house. Don't customize them too much, but you have to get into that house. You know, you have to see how much space is between this home and the neighbor's home. You have to get an idea for what it feels like to like approach that house, to drive down that street, to drive around that neighborhood a little bit. There's so much like subjective nature to residential real estate that you really need somebody there who understands how buyers perceive things, how the lender is going to perceive things, how the bank appraiser is going to understand value in the situation. But you have to be there to understand. If you're giving somebody an opinion on list price without going to the house, it's kind of like the same thing as, you know, contracting to sell a house to a buyer who's never seen the house. It's like, it's so important because it's so subjective.
Yeah. So you go to the house.
With the range of what this thing
could be. Yeah, you can give a little bit of a range. Like, hey, here's kind of the range of things that are selling around you. Maybe not even talking about the house specifically, but, you know, based on your square footage and your bedrooms and your bathrooms and your yard size and all that, the age of the house, here's the range. But to really nail it down, I'm going to have to come and see the house.
Absolutely.
So we set up the appointment. We go to the house. What are we looking for?
Roof age, HVAC age. Is there air conditioning? When's the last time the electric service was updated? What type of plumbing systems are in the house? Are you compliant in the municipality where the house is for when you go to transfer title to make sure that you have all of the compliance features done to that house, right? So for Kenmore, you need sump pump. Sometimes you need bubbler. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Amherst, you also need to go through inflow and infiltration inspection. So when listing the house, you're doing everything that you need to do throughout that sale up front to make sure that that's going to be a sale that you can count on to close.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So any of that stuff that may come up at an inspection, that may come up at an appraisal or the time of sale with transferring title, start working on all that stuff right away. Get your search together. Get your survey together. That stuff takes a while to update because we're in a lawyer state and, you know, it goes through lawyers to close these transactions. So updating title docs and stuff takes a while.
So basically what you're saying, though, in the most simple terms, is you're looking at the hat and the shoes, the roof and the basement, and the innards, right?
The guts.
All the things that make the house work. So you got roof, foundation, basement, and then you have the mechanics is what we call
it. The guts.
The furnace, the hot water tank, the AC, the plumbing, the electrical.
Yeah, knowing that stuff is so important because that's how value is determined, right? What does it cost to replace those things?
Yeah.
What does it cost to fix the foundation? All that stuff and the cost to repair like factors into what a home is worth today.
Yeah. Okay, and then after that stuff, like all the stuff that is a lot of times unseen, then we're looking at finishes, upgrades.
The next thing I'm really looking at for value is going to be that driveway.
Really?
Yeah, driveway and garage, because those are two things that are really hard to add if they're not there. There are huge capital improvements.
Okay.
Sometimes a lot size doesn't permit a driveway, or sometimes there's a driveway and then there was a garage or something, but like building a garage is expensive. Installing a driveway is expensive. You need enough space between you and the neighbor to do so.
Right.
So, and those are two huge things for value. Like imagine buying an owner-occupied home and having to park, you know, half a block away every time you get to your house, every grocery bag, every whatever, every trip out of the house, like you could be walk. And we live in such a world where we want things right away. So I don't know who wants to walk a half a block to get home every day.
All right. So
at least not in Buffalo.
You're looking at driveway and you're saying if there's a driveway, what's the condition of it?
Parking description, driveway description.
If there isn't a driveway, can we put one in? A lot of times in Buffalo, the houses are so close that you couldn't pull a car in between.
Mm-hmm.
And so can they put a parking pad on the front? That's what you're thinking about?
Yeah, that type of stuff.
Okay.
And then get into the inside of the house, square footage, beds, baths, type of flooring.
Like all the updates and like upgrades.
Yeah, the cosmetic nature of it.
Yeah. Is there anything else What do we do? So when I go there, I take pictures. I tell them, hey, this isn't for marketing. This is just for me. I'm in a lot of houses. I want to make sure when I go back to my computer and I'm looking at the comps and I'm trying to figure out what your house is actually worth as close as possible, I just use these videos and photos to go through and compare them to the other houses. Yeah, so
great
stuff like
reference.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Always take videos of each level of each house just so you could reference back, especially, you know, sometimes you're a couple of days removed from being at the house and then running numbers on the house. So having those videos is great context.
Yeah. I have the owner also give me a tour, you know, just like show me everything in the house. Tell me anything that you feel is of note. So when we're talking about upgrades and stuff like that, it's not just me looking for stuff like that. I'm like, when were these cabinets put in? How old is this fridge? You know, what's the floor made of? Right.
Yeah. When did you do this renovation? Did you pull permits? Like stuff like that can come into play.
Yeah.
So it's about like someone's got this asset, right? And they want to sell it because there's something going on in their life. Like most of the time, there's something external driving somebody's desire to sell or to buy, right?
Yeah.
And selling the real estate is part of solving the problem, right? So how, if this needs to sell, how do you now sell this for as much money as physically possible? And like a good realtor determines that. Like they could stand up price. And that's what you're doing with this whole pricing conversation. Like nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody knows exactly what something is going to sell for. Like if somebody did, we wouldn't, none of us would be in this room doing this right now, right? But you got to make sure that there's like, that they're in the best possible position to be most successful with that sell.
Okay. So you take all that information, we go back to the office, and we start to look at comps. We talked about comps a little bit in our buying series, and it's typically about the same process. You're looking at recently sold houses that are similar. You know, you're not comparing a ranch to a three-story house. You're looking for houses that are very similar in size, bedrooms, bathrooms, updates, and then, you know, you're starting to narrow down. You also make adjustments too. So you might have a house that's very similar to one house, but the other house has a brand new beautiful kitchen. And so we're like, you know, adding and subtracting based on what we're seeing in the market.
Absolutely.
And then we go back to the client and we say, hey, here's what I believe based on my research. And we even sometimes show them the work that we've done, a comp sheet or a spreadsheet or whatever. Mm-hmm. We say, this is what we believe is the best possible list price to get. And I think what you always say is you want about 20 showings with four or five offers. Is that
to maximize value?
Yeah.
I think so. I think 20 people through the door, and we know that if we could get 20 through, we can get five of them to write offers, or five should write offers.
I think I'm realizing that it's true that if you have about five showings, you end up with one offer.
Yeah. And we track that on the back end. So yeah, we know how many times people see all of our listings. We have that segmented by zip code and property type and all that. And we have really good data now that shows like, depending on where you are, what type of house you're at, how many showings normally relate to how many offers. And then you just try to like do everything you can to control that situation, right? That showing experience is so important. But when we go back and run those sold comps, the sold comps are so important because a lot of times buyers purchase with banks and the bank does an appraisal to protect their interest in the piece of real estate. Mm-hmm. And those sold comps are going to drive what the most the bank is ever going to say that house is worth.
Right.
That's why knowing those solds are so important, because we can go under contract today to sell a house to somebody who's buying a house with a mortgage for 300, but the neighborhood only supports 220s or 230s. The appraiser is going to kill that deal 45 days down the road. Right. So that's why the sold comps are so important. But when figuring out like what's the best list price and what we should launch this property at to the universe, like you want to know those actives and those pending markets better than those sold ones.
So the ones that are still for sale on Zillow and the ones that say under contract or pending.
And that's where a lot of the work comes in, right? Like calling the 15 active listings in Kenmore and asking the listing agents what the showing experience has been like on their listings. How many offers are they expecting? Right now, when you make those important calls to those active listings and those pending listings, and you find out from the pendings, you know, how many offers they had. Sometimes the agent will tell you what they did actually sell for. Now you can start to get an idea that there's like 40 buyers out in the market right now for this type of asset. And when you could speak confidently to that by knowing how many people are looking at the other active houses, and then you know how many offers those pending homes had, Now you can really start to tell a very powerful story to a seller that, hey, if you list your house at 200, you should get 20 offers based on our experience, or 20 showings. Based on our experience, we know that that's going to result in five offers, and five offers in the $200,000 price range could yield 20 to 30% more than the list price. And the comps for this house still support that final, you know, sell price and contract value of whatever the number you're going for is.
Man, that is really good information. And it's information that a lot of people don't have. The person who wants to sell it on their own, they have access to Zillow and the solds, what other things have sold for, but not necessarily the very current ones that are under contract right now, or how it's going with the houses that are currently on the market.
Which is like the most important part of pricing. Like every agent focuses on these sold comps. It's just one piece of how to figure out value. The pending and the active comps are more important, in my opinion, on figuring out what the list price is.
Right.
That's what tells the story. How many buyers are in the market today for a single family ranch in Amherst? You can figure that out. It takes a lot of work to call a lot of people, and you got to have relationships with these people that are going to take your phone call or call you back or give you that information when you ask for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that well, you maximize value. When you don't, you sacrifice value. Whether you have an agent or not is irrelevant, right? It just has to get done if you're maximizing your position. But not everybody wants to maximize their position. Sometimes people want to go quick. They just want this house gone as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Now, wait, quick question. So let's say you do all your research and then you go to the seller and you say, hey, based on the market in the area, here's what I believe should be the list price. And they say, well, I want blank. I want more. What's that conversation like? Because so I've had a couple of them.
I always coach our agents. You want to be within one price reduction away from feeling confident that you could sell that house at that price reduction number to be successful.
And price reduction meaning you put it on the market, it's on the market for a while, you don't get an acceptable offer, and you lower the price.
You want to be one price reduction away, in my opinion, as an agent, to be involved in that transaction. If somebody's too, like, their number's way too high, the comps don't support it all, you can't stand up price. Because at the end of the day, that's what the agent's doing. They're standing up the price. Like, and when you do the comps right now, you could stand it up right when you're having these conversations with buyer's agents. If a seller's too out of whack, I always tell the agent, like, when your agent and you are not on the same page about value, it's not going to be fun, right? Because now the agent's going to be playing a price reduction game with you.
Well, what's a price reduction to you? Is it a certain percentage? Like, you know, is a price reduction $100,000 or $10,000 or?
It depends, you know? Right? Like, it depends. You can go up at 250 and have one showing in 21 days. Like, you really missed the price.
So I guess what I'm asking is, if we are confident in our ability to list a house at the right price and a seller says, no, I want this much, how much are we willing to go with them on that in order to get that sale done in one price reduction?
I mean, it's hard to quantify that, like, in terms of like 10, 15, or 20% because price ranges are all over the place.
Right.
But I mean, no one's dropping. I mean, dropping 50 grand on $1 million house is not a lot, but dropping 50 grand on a $200,000 house is a ton.
It's a lot, yeah.
So it's hard to quantify it by like dollar amount, but you just got to be within one reasonable price reduction away from being able to get the job done, or you might be better off being the second guy in on that situation, or the second gal in that situation. And there are times, like, depending on what you have going on as an agent around you, how busy you are, what your pipeline looks like, mm-hmm. where you might take that listing that you feel is overpriced. But again, dude, like, this is just what we think. We could be wrong. You know what I mean? So, like, we're doing one right now that Chris is listing with somebody on Amherst Street. It's a 3-unit. We thought we should go up at 150. She really wants 200. After having a really, like, deep conversation with her, like, we agreed that, hey, if we were you and we were selling this, we wouldn't list it for 150 either until we put it up for 200 and saw what happened. So in that situation, we are going up at 200. We are all on the same page going into this that it may be a little bit high, but it's commercial real estate. It's a little bit different. Let's put it up, see what happens. Like, get all the feedback, do all the showings, do all the marketing. If we're not getting the activity, then you might need to adjust. But no one is going to want to adjust the price twice. Like, put yourself in the seller's shoes, like, in your agent's telling you to drop the price for a third time. Eventually, you're going to feel like you're exposed, you know, and nobody wants to feel like they got their pants down in front of
everyone,
a crowd of people.
Yeah, everyone who's coming by, they're thinking it's like the bargain bin, you know.
But you got to reduce it enough, right? Because if you only reduce it a little bit, but you reduce it a little bit three times, you're just like slowly kind of pulling those pants down. Like, you...
right.
But you could like do one massive price reduction and really get to the point that the place that you were trying to be at the beginning. But it's a very delicate process. And if you don't get priced right, the situation's not going to be successful.
Okay. So we want to wrap up soon because we live in Buffalo, New York, and, you know, we want to make these episodes about as long as a normal commute in Buffalo. And
20 minutes?
We're about at that 20-minute mark. So... let's say we agree on price. You know, we have that initial conversation. We go to the house. We run the comps. We propose the list price to the seller. They agree, or we're within one price reduction of a sale based on what they want to sell it for. Next step is listing agreement, right? So now you're trying to figure out, what is that price? When are we going to list it? Like, when is it going to be active on the market? And then what is the commission amount? That's very important. And in our next episode, we're going to talk about that.
You know? That's a scary conversation for a lot of agents. So if you're a real estate agent local to Western New York, tune into this podcast and we're going to talk about stuff that's going to help you have more powerful conversations with consumers of real estate. That's really the goal of this thing. Like, let's help people help people.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the Real Estate People podcast. We'll see you on the next one. You know, we wouldn't be able to make this podcast possible without the help of our good friends at Pernell Brothers Advertising.
They've been an incredible asset to our team, helping us execute, you know, marketing tasks, whether it be commercials,
logos, websites,
graphic design.
Yeah, whatever you need to market your deal, whatever you're doing. This space that we're in is actually your office, but the Pernell Brothers, they come the night before. They set up the whole studio, they get it all ready, they shoot all the different camera angles, they set up the microphones, and they edit everything that ends up on Spotify and Apple Podcasts for us. So we're very grateful for them, and we recommend using them for anything that you might need as far as advertising goes.
Yeah, if you're just trying to remember a specific moment and you want that showcased in the best possible light, hire the Pernell Brothers, nice. The Swift Army Knife of Media Relations, to help execute your special day. Or I moments. Love it.
Travis, Craig, and Drew, they're all amazing people. They're all very friendly and personable, and we're grateful to them. Check them out at pernellbrothers.com. They're online too. I said online, but social medias, all the medias of socialies.
Just Google Pernell Brothers Advertising, and these marketing guys got the SEO nailed down. Right. They're awesome. Thank you, guys.